This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
10% Akabal.
Akabal Bagahalava. Huh? Yeah. Oh, my beer is 10% Akabada and a whole lot of volume, okay?
And the poopity corn, the first and poopity corn, the shrimpies, shrimpies, and the shrimpies.
10% Akabada Galava. All right.
Done.
And cut.
Scene.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 59 for Monday, April 9th, 2018.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about libations in the form of craft beverages that Robert and I are going to consume while we're recording this podcast. We're also going to talk about, I lost my fucking mind about a dog.
We'll also talk about how spaghetti.
We're going to talk about brownies and pasta.
And how they don't make us fat anymore. Like we talked about during episode 55, titled Magical Leoplerodon. And then this week, we've got two more crazy news stories. One involving some shitty Costco beer, and the other involving cremation.
That's right, guys. We have cremation humor this week.
Nothing like people taking a dust nap.
Sometimes brownies get baked. And sometimes people get baked. The only difference is you eat the brownies, and you hopefully don't eat the people.
Which one does burnt better? This guy named Bob, or a brownie?
All on the Two Bobs.
In episode 59, Kelly makes burnt brownies.
So, how's work going for you this week?
Over. Today's Friday, what we're recording this week. Yeah. So we got ourselves the last day in. So now we've got a weekend to kind of recover, and I got a nice beer here. So I'm looking forward to it. How about you? You were off this week.
Yeah, I was off this week. And it was like, I don't know. I always feel like at least once a year, I take a staycation where we... You know, we just hang out at home. We don't go anywhere really. I always have the intention that I'm going to relax with the family, and it'll be a very cathartic experience for me. But that's never the case. Like, I feel like we should leave town because it's less work. Like, I was ready. It was like Wednesday, and I was texting with one of my colleagues, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm ready to come back now. Ready to go back to work." So, no, but it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun this week. And I know we'll get into some of it, but it's been an eventful week as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when I go back to work after a vacation, my thought is usually I'm coming back here so I can get a chance to relax. And especially if you do go somewhere, because for me, it's stressful. You're going to go somewhere and did I remember everything? So I start like a week early, I start making a list of stuff I got to remember, you know, Excedrin and tweezers, just weird shit. And I make sure to count out, okay, how many socks am I going to need? How many undershirts? And how it just, and you pack everything. You're living out of a suitcase and you don't have your own place to sit down. You don't have your own TV. You can't just go to the refrigerator and get something. You're kind of living off just I don't know. It's not very comfortable. It's fun. But at the same time, there's nothing quite like being back in your own environment where everything is just the way you left it.
That is true. That is true. Now, do you have this thing when you do leave town where you have to make sure the house, because this is what I do. I clean.
I have answers for all. Well, no.
I clean everything.
You lost me at clean.
I clean everything before we leave because one of the things that I do is I hate to come back to a dirty house.
No.
No, you're not like that. See, I can't stand it. In fact, like even when we're leaving the house just to go somewhere for a couple hours, like I refuse to let there be like dishes in the sink or anything like that. Like that shit needs to be cleaned up because when I walk in the door, if the first thing I see is those dishes and
clutter,
man, clutter and dishes, it really just it doesn't sit well with me. But
we do a pretty good job of keeping up with that stuff anyway, so that it's not like we have to rush through those things. There are a few things we want to, you know, put away. If there's like a newspaper that we've been reading, you know, stuff that somewhere. I mean, it's got its own space, so it's not like we just shove it under the couch. But there are a few things like that. But no, we don't really make it a big habit of walking around and basically putting everything away. It's generally in that case to begin with little a few exclusions.
See, I feel like though, like your kids are different than mine. You don't have a Harrison, first off, who is just basically just a tornado King with Harry. Legs and arms, and he just leaves a path of destruction everywhere he goes. So maybe that's it. Like I try my best.
Yeah, the kids are older. We don't have one as young as yours.
Like if we leave a room that he's in for 5 minutes and then return, that room will not look anything like it did when we left the room. But anyway,
we're gonna save that. We got some beer to drink, and we'll get to that part.
Oh, sorry, Mr. I organized the episode. Sorry, I'm speaking out of turn here, Mr. Kilimowski.
No, this is me, you know, leaving the house and coming back. You like to come back to order, and I like to kind of
you like to come order. Back to disarray.
You don't like
the order to leave in the first place. No, I see what you're saying.
Well, kind of. I mean, if it will, we'll get through the whole thing and then we'll realize we never drank our beers and they were sitting here warm.
That'd be sad.
Well, let's do it.
All right.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
Fucking sound roll.
See, I feel a little bit of relief already now that we've got that because I prevented you from kind of going on.
Yeah, I mean, you played the drop.
We have to
switch gears. Oh, stop talking. Beer time. So what I'm drinking tonight. It's going to be the shortest.
That's going to screw me up.
Two Bobs ever. We're going to have a 20-minute long episode. All right. So anyway, what I have this week is a beer I've had, and I love it, and I've had many times, but it's been a while. I looked, and I never checked in on, surprisingly, I had never checked in on Untappd with this beer. So it had been a while since I drank it, but it's a really solid beer. And what it is, it's the Milkshake Stout from Rochester Mills. It's a 5%. Alcohol by volume, 20 IBUs, and it's a sweet stout with just a nice, smooth flavor to it. The website says a proprietary blend of 7 malts. We're going with 7. The can says 4. The website says 7. I feel like if anything should be out of date, I don't know. Like the internet's like just, you know, on demand. So I feel like maybe they added more malts. Since they printed the cans and there's like, fuck it, we got all these cans, got to fill them with something, so might as well just roll with it. I don't know. But a proprietary blend of 7 malts along with a low hop level creates a deep, dark beer featuring rich, sweet, roasted flavors. The addition of lactose, which is milk sugar, adds complexity, body, and a residual sweetness, lending a smooth, creamy texture to this full-flavored brew, once a seasonal offering in the pub, now prominently featured due to popular demand. And I believe I think the Rochester Red is probably their most popular beer, which I've had before, and I've actually had on the show. But this, I believe, is kind of one of their, again, it started off as a seasonal. They make it year-round now because it's super popular. But and then this isn't the first time I've had Rochester Mills on the show, as I mentioned, episode 14, Assassination. Let me try that again. Episode 14, Assassination Complex. I had the blueberry pancake milkshake style, which was highly rated. And then on episode 27, Rob loves Game of Thrones. I had that Rochester Red. So here we have the milkshake stout. I'm going to taste it again, give you some more information as needed.
I remember elderly listener. She liked the Rochester Red too.
Mm-hmm. She does like that. I definitely taste the lactose in the beer. It's a nice kind of creamy beer, nice and dark pour. Not much of a head on it, but it just, you get that creaminess out of the flavor, and definitely a nice kind of dark chocolate taste to it as well. It's just a really solid, nothing too extraordinarily different than a lot of these other beers, but they put the flavors together really well, and just the addition of the lactose just makes it a really nice, smooth, drinkable beer. Going back to the website, it says the taste is aroma is malty, sweet, chocolatey, caramel, coffee, full bodied. I do taste a little bit of the coffee in there, but not a ton of the coffee, just a little taste of it. Cheese pairing ideas would be brie, camembert, cheddar, aged cheddar, not new cheddar, aged.
Okay, good.
Goat cheese and Swiss cheese. Food pairings, beef barbecue, spicy Asian dishes, shrimp fried rye.
Almond boneless chicken.
Some almond boneless chicken. Maybe put some curry on there just to spice it up a little bit. I don't know. Depends on, you know, you just got
to
go.
Next to Bingo Hall?
Yeah, it's next to the Bingo Hall at 16 Guffield. and also chocolate cake. Other chocolate desserts. So often when I'm drinking this, I do like my desserts, and so I do like to eat some nice sweet dessert type of chocolate.
You've been waiting for that.
And what
is that, a brownie? Why is it so crunchy?
I think because I bit on the very end where the Oreo was.
It's like you're eating a big giant s'more with graham crackers.
It's really good. This is it is fudgy. Sorry. But it's a brownie that has Oreos like sandwiched into it.
Hold that up here. Let me have a gander at this.
And it's really good. So what do you have here?
Got a whole plate full.
I have one brownie, fucker. See? It's like it's brownie.
Let's go.
But there is definitely some white frosting.
It's hard on the top.
It's not hard. It's the...
Did Kelly burn that?
Kelly's going to murder you.
Did she burn it again?
It's delicious.
You said she was a terrible baker.
I never said that. Oh, my God. Don't put words in my mouth. She's going to leave me.
Then you'll never get brownies again.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, that's good. I need to make some brownies now.
With the milkshake stout.
Yeah, it's kind of desserty.
Having some brownies.
Got a whole roll of paper towels there.
I keep paper towels in my office.
In case Harrison comes in.
In case Harrison comes in, I got to clean up after him. I don't know why I have these paper towels here, to be honest with you. I think at some point I was probably...
You're going to go somewhere, so you had to tidy up. You don't want to come back to a dirty studio.
No. Hopefully, I didn't get chunks of brownie anywhere. All right, I got
a keyboard. So that one's got a lot of different flavors in it: the coffee, the caramel, the chocolate.
Oh yeah, we're talking about beer. Sorry.
The other one was more of the blue. I'm trying to figure out how that was different from the last one you had, but the other one was more of the blueberry pancake, where it almost tasted like you were drinking pancake batter. I guess.
I think the difference between this and the other one is the other one. I think they pulled back a little bit on the chocolate part of it and the caramel. And I think they added blueberry and also a little bit of maple to it.
Oh, that's right.
So I think that's really the difference. The other one, this is sweet. The other one I would say is sweeter, though. So it's more desserty than this one. Again, this is a really good dessert beer. I just downed half of a brownie, as you can see, while I was drinking it. And it actually pairs. I can say first-hand experience here, they do pair very well together. As I ate the brownie and then I chased it with a little bit of the milkshake stout, and actually it was a good pairing. The website is on point there.
Well, if I had paid a little bit more attention, I would have gotten something to accompany mine too. But a while back, and I can't remember when it was probably before Christmas sometime, I was telling you about this one, and I've been looking everywhere for it. And then I figured maybe I just lost my chance, but I happened to be in the grocery store the other day, and I walked past this the section. I was just looking for something. Maybe something would jump out, and this one certainly did. So I recognized the label on it right away, and I went ahead and got a couple. But we're going to go back to our friends at Southern Tier, and this is the Thick Mint Stout, which is an Imperial Stout. And as I mentioned before, it was the flavors are a lot like a thin mint cookie. So they call it the thick mint since it's an imperial stout. And as you can see, it's nice and dark the way you like it. And the taste, exactly, if you were to liquefy a thick thin mint cookie and add the imperial stout style to it. So you've got something that has quite a bit of a punch to it. And that's what you'd end up with in your glass.
That looks really good. It reminds me of the Naughty Girl Stout, which was a mint stout.
You have that? I think I had that.
No, I had it.
No, I had the Naughty Neighbor.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just as good.
I was going to say, I had the bottle on my fucking wall back here.
You probably lost it. But the other times, we've both enjoyed the Southern Tier. And episode 24, Rob likes sausage. I had a New School IPA.
Right, Brian.
Episode 46, Christmas as fuck. I had the Imperial Chocolate Stout, which I've had several times since then, and that definitely ranks high up there if you've ever had it. And then in episode 49, you had the Cinnamon Roll Imperial Ale, which I've had since then a couple times, and I think I'm all done. But this one ranks right up there, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about it.
You've sniffed all those bottles.
I know. I keep one here to sniff. Right here next to my microphone, but... The Southern Tier Thick Mint Stout is inspired by the legendary cookie. Thick Mint joins our world-class rated Blackwater series of dessert beers alongside creme brulee, chocolate orange, salted caramel, and chocolat in 2017. This Imperial Stout is a mouthful of perfectly balanced mint and chocolate. Roasty malts coalesce with notes of Belgian dark chocolate, sweet mint, and just a touch of sweet caramel. So decadently delicious, you'll wish you'd bought another box or bottle. And the brewer's notes, color deep dark brown, aromas chocolate, dark malts, and mint. The bitterness is mild, moderate, I guess, 60 IBUs, and is 10% alcohol by volume. And again, it is a 22-ounce bottle, so I'm going to be feeling this one in a little while. And it says it pairs as a float with vanilla bean ice cream.
Mm.
Goes with vanilla custard. And Bananas Foster. So I gotta find that chocolate orange. I know you had one that was like that, but you didn't really like that much. Mm-mm. But I bet you Southern Tier kills it.
I feel like they probably would. I mean, it seems like they're really good with the flavors.
Yeah, they don't fuck around.
No.
As they should. Good.
As they.
Well, if you can find it, I would imagine that if you're able to get some Southern Tier up your way, you might be able to find it. But I showed you the bottle a little while ago, but it's. It's that big one. Maybe there's still some left. I think it was like more of a holiday type. But anyway, you might be able to find it. If you do, go ahead and grab it.
Yeah. So the Thick Mint Stout. What did you rate it on Untappd?
I rated it a 4.5.
Ooh, I rated mine a 5. That's
right up. Oh wow.
It's up there.
It must be. Is that better? Do you remember what you did the blueberry pancake? Probably wasn't a 5.
I don't think the blueberry pancake made it to 5. I think it was like. I might have given it a 4 or 4.25 or something like that. Yeah. Don't quote me. I don't remember exactly, but the Milk Straight Stout is just it's a really good beer. You know, it's a solid choice. And actually, I didn't even buy this. Somebody gave elderly listener a 4-pack or a 6-pack of it. It was a 4-pack.
What, honey?
And she gave it to me. She's like, "Hey, can you hold on to this and then bring some over our house on Easter?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And then I just didn't.
A bottle broke by accident.
But she's in Fort Walton, in a can, so that's hard to.
Damn it.
Yeah. So Rochester Mills doesn't do bottles, they do cans. You know, elderly listener is also in Florida for the next couple weeks, so her loss.
No, she won't miss it.
No, worst case, if I do drink it, I'll buy her some more. It's fine. I know where to get it.
It's fine.
I work in Rochester. And guess what? It's Rochester Mills right there. Right down the street for me. Anyway, what else we got going on? I don't know what this thing says on our Surprise.
TTB surprise. Yeah. Well, you know, you put a challenge out to me and I put a challenge out to myself. Like I said earlier, I kind of like those challenges and I'll find ways to make things happen. I appreciate when I don't know something and trying to figure out how to make it work. So I don't know if you remember exactly what it was, but the challenge was for me to find out a way to get Alexa to play the Two Bobs.
Alexa, open AnyPod and play the Two Bobs podcast.
Okay. Here's the newest episode of the Two Bobs podcast. On this episode, TTB058, Garbled Mess.
This program deals with things of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
But so
that was last week's episode.
I sure do.
So yeah, you gotta go. They have the skills that are on there, yeah. And there's different ways. I mean, TuneIn is supposed to work with us, but as we've played in the past, it doesn't really work.
Fuck TuneIn.
Somebody else was supposed to work. There was a couple other ones that I tried, and for whatever reason, they could never do it. Either they played something completely out of the realm of what we were trying to do, nothing at all that sounded like the Two Bobs, and other times it would say the Two Bobs, but it was T-O, the Two Bobs.
Yeah, they're stupid.
So it never quite got the two, and even no matter how hard we enunciated it. So I found this guy online in my travels, and he has a Alexa skill called AnyPod. So if you enable that skill, all you have to do is say, open AnyPod and play the Two Bobs podcast, or you can say, open AnyPod and then wait for... And then say, search the Two Bobs podcast. But yeah, you say the Two Bobs podcast and it's in there. I was able to select the keyword that I wanted to use. So there it is. It works. So I've been able to play them.
Nice. And I've already installed, as you were rambling on about that.
Well, that's why I was putting a lot of extra words in there. I saw you were busy.
No. So, well, I was installing the AnyPod skill, which I have just done. Yeah. So I'm excited that my Alexa devices will now play my podcast that I'll never be able to play in the kitchen or anywhere else in the house anyway, because
I was going
to
say,
we say fuck and shit and stuff too much and I have small kids, but it's nice to know that there's a way to do it. If only TuneIn could get their shit together, but no, this is very cool. Congratulations. You can sleep now.
Woohoo!
Have you flown the drone yet? Or are you just still looking for reasons not to?
I did. I took it out at lunch today and it was extremely windy, but I wanted to do it. And I took a picture of myself, and I'll send it over to you. But hopefully to get it out there tomorrow. But it's going to be raining pretty hard, maybe Sunday. But we got baseball about to fire up. But there's a lot since the last time that I actually flew them. The rules have changed quite a bit, and I'm not too far as I think most people are from an airport. So there's a few things that you got to worry about
hitting planes.
But it's actually pretty easy.
Nice.
I'll send it over to your house and bring you a surprise or something.
Well, yeah. So you bought a drone.
Yeah,
I bought something similar to a drone, except it's a dog.
Oh no! Now I've seen the picture of it, and it looks very cute. But I think
you can turn your drone off when you're done with it.
I think at the end of the day, it's a little bit of a difference in what I got versus what you got. So what's going on?
Yeah, so it was Friday. Yes, it was Friday last week.
It's a whole week now.
Callie and I were
past the return period.
Driving, I know, right? We were driving. We were on the road doing something, and I talked to my mom.
Oh no!
And kind of made a comment like, Callie and I, we had been on since we gave my parents a dog because so we surrendered a dog to my parents essentially because she bit. She was a miniature dachshund who's terrible with kids and bit Colin and drew a little bit of blood when he was a toddler. So shipped her off to my parents' house. We kind of were in the school of thought that we would feel really bad if we went and got another dog while this one was still alive.
Yeah. So we talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So essentially we had just been waiting for this one to die.
Snappy McSnappy.
So my mom, I forget how this happened, but I happened to mention to my mom, hey, you know, because we went to the Michigan Humane Society like the week before with Harrison because he's been saying he wants a pet. And we found a one-eyed guinea pig named Pirate. But Kelly was like, no, I don't want a rodent in the house. So then she kind of made the joke. And my mom was there. Like, she kind of made the joke, you know, why don't we just wait till Holly dies and just get a dog? And then my mom hears and she's like, you know, She's like, if you guys really wanted a dog, like, you don't, have to wait till. My dad kind of made a joke, like, please just don't give this one to us too. Like, so anyways, this was Friday.
But you're working on it, I think.
This was like Friday morning when my mom mentions this to me. And then I'm sitting there like online looking within an hour, I think I was online just kind of looking at dogs in general. And we needed something that doesn't shed because Colin has an allergy.
Yeah.
So we need a hypoallergenic dog. And then so my mom, elderly listener, texts me like a link to this website where you can look, you know, where you can basically just look at people locally who have are like breeders who are listing animals. So I found one and it was called a Woodle, which is essentially a soft-coated Wheaton Terrier, which I love. I grew up with a soft-coated Wheaton Terrier. My parents had one when I was younger. So it's a soft-coated Wheaton Terrier poodle mix. So I found like one breeder that had a litter and had started giving or selling the dogs. So anyway, within a couple hours, like I texted the lady and she called me back and was like, hey, I have some. She's like, one went yesterday. I have one going tomorrow. I have one going on Monday. She's like, I have a couple more though that I still have. So within a couple hours of my mom saying, you don't have to wait till Holly dies to get a new dog. We were like on our way up to Flint and we find these dogs and I find one and it like, I found the one that when I picked it up, it didn't just start to like try to hack my hand or anything like that. So I found one and it was like the heifer of the litter too. It's the biggest puppy in the litter. And that's the one we kind of fell in love with. So we gave him money and then we didn't take the dog that day though. I told Kelly, Kelly's like, you know what?
Never mind.
Kelly goes, I want to be able to get home and like puppy proof the house and get things that we need and just digest the fact that we're bringing this puppy home, things like that. So we came home and then I think, I called her and then was like, or I texted her, the breeder, and I was like, yeah, can we come tomorrow and pick this fucking dog up? And she said, yeah, sure, no problem. So went up there the next day, picked the dog up, brought it home, and, you know, the rest is history. Now it's just pissing and shitting all over my house.
Now do you, and I had a dog that I raised from a very young age, and I would, every night I would get up, just like you said, I'd get up at midnight, I'd get up at 3, because I wanted to get her used to going outside and not, like you said, pissing and shitting in the house. So I'd set my alarm for every couple of hours, just like with a child where you're going to get up and feed it. And I'd take it out to the exact same spot every day. And every single time I took it out, are you doing that? So when it wakes up, you're taking it out or you're just kind of turning over, hoping you don't hear it anymore because you don't feel like getting up.
No, what I noticed is he does not like to go in the crate.
Yeah.
He like last night he didn't go, the night before he did. But what I noticed is, that night before when I was sleeping on the couch, he'd start whining. Like the one time he went in there, he was whining and then I just decided to ignore him. And then he was a minute later, he's like, all right, fuck you then. And just went in the crate. Yeah. So that's essentially what we realize is like when he does start to whine, like you got maybe a minute. Otherwise, he's just going to offload right there in the cage. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. So, but again, we're not setting alarms or anything like that. But
listening,
I think naturally he just is not wanting to go in the crate. So he's going to whine and at least give us a chance to get him out of there and take him outside. But then it's like all of a sudden I looked around the yard. I'm like, fuck, there's shit everywhere. Like I got to clean this stuff up, right? It just doesn't evaporate or anything like that. So, you know, it's going and cleaning that up.
So 8 to probably 9 weeks old now. How is it compared to kids? Good, bad, similar, not that similar. It's been a while since I've had one that young, but and when I didn't have kids. So it's pretty similar, I think. I mean, they've got their own things, but
in a lot of ways it is the same. It's having that like living creature that you just have to constantly watch over and worry about and things like that. I mean, this one goes on the floor, the child would go in his diaper, and this one's got to eat a certain amount of food at certain times of the day. And so does the child and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is definitely a lot of similarities between raising a puppy and raising a newborn. In some ways, though, raising the newborn, I'd say, is actually a little bit easier. Just because, again, it's going in a diaper. It's pretty self-contained. A newborn just sits, lays there. Like, it doesn't go anywhere. Like a puppy, yeah. You got to watch it because he's all over the place. And now he's like comfortable.
Gone.
Like, now he's more comfortable with his surroundings. So, like,
yeah,
if you're not out there with him on a leash, like, he doesn't book or anything, but he'll start exploring. And all of a sudden you'll blink and or look at your phone for a second and you look around and you're like, fuck, where'd the puppy go? And actually we can share the experience too. Our neighbors across the street, actually, like, they're good friends of ours. It's the same. We've talked about Dave and his wife, Amy, who have the crawfish boil every year and stuff like that. Well, so we got this puppy, on Saturday of last Saturday. And that evening, he started texting. Dave was texting me, and I had known that he had been wanting a dog for a long time. And he started texting me, asking me questions like, you know, where did you get it? How is it? How much did you pay for it? Like this, like, how is he with allergies? And as soon, and when I told him he didn't shed, then like he's like, oh, this fucker, like this big fuzzy thing doesn't shed. I'm like, yeah, it's great. So then the next day he's like, yep, we're going to get one. So actually, Finnegan, who that's the name of the puppy. His name is Finnegan. His brother lives across the street from us now. So it's kind of cool. It was cute because, like, you know, we reunited them and it was like, you could tell they're siblings and they knew each other. Cause right away they just run up to each other. There's not that initial like hesitation. Like you see, they're seeing another dog for the first time. Like as soon as they saw each other, they ran toward each other and they started rolling around and wrestling and stuff like that. It was cute.
Well, I'm excited for you guys. And I like to see maybe a picture with Colin with the dog, because it seems like it's always Harrison, but hopefully he's sharing.
Well, what's funny is Harrison's a little attention whore. He asked to take pictures with the dog. He'll be like, hey, take my picture with the dog. And so, like, I do need more of Colin and the... I think I inherently take more pictures of Harrison just because, like, I have all these pictures of Colin as he's been growing up and stuff like that. He's older now. So, I mean, he's still cute, but he's not as cute as Harrison just because Harrison's four. And so, like, I think I tend to just take more pictures of Harrison just because, again, like, I already have the 4-year. I don't know. It's hard to explain. You're right, though. I do need more pictures of Colin with the dog, though. Duly noted.
I know Ben did that for a long time. It's like, oh, take my picture doing this, take my picture doing that. But he's probably more towards Colin, where he's outgrown that.
Yeah, I think so. He's not requesting it as much. He does love Snapchat. They both love the Snapchat filters, but he's not asking for his filters. Picture to be taken as much anymore. Speaking of Facebook, anyway, so I still, up until the very moment, like all last week and the week before, I still wasn't 100% sure I was going to keep the account deleted, but I didn't have any like big urges to go in and reactivate the account. But at the same time, I wouldn't have bet my life that I wasn't going to go back in and reactivate the account until it was April 5th. And I got some sort of email from Facebook from some sort of app that was like, your account is no longer valid and no longer. And I'm like, oh fuck, I missed the cutoff. So my Facebook account's gone officially for now.
Well, it's funny because I saw all the articles that I saw, and didn't have anything to do with you, but there were with the changes and all the people that were either closing Facebook or Facebook that was making the changes behind the scenes to make it a little bit more secure. There were apps that were like that people were still trying to use. And the funniest thing was that most of the articles that I saw were people that were trying to use Tinder and they used Facebook to log into Tinder and it wasn't working anymore. So the article's like, hey, you know, you people are trying to swipe, but you can't get through because Facebook made a few changes. Just stay tuned and we'll fix it and you'll be able to get back in.
Nice. Well, you know,
we don't have that
problem. No, I mean, I grew up in the age where if you wanted to meet a girl, like you had to actually like physically find her and meet her because that was the only way, you know, you were really going to meet. To meet a girl at that time, so you know,
and you had to ask her out in person. Yeah. Now they do it over text. You know, I remember those butterflies trying to figure out what I was going to say. Was my voice going to crack? Was it going to sound stupid? Where now, I mean, she'll probably be embarrassed, but I've seen her sit there with her phone out, and we're over at the pizza place, and she's typing out this message and she and Melissa are talking like, well, what's going on? Well, she's she's breaking up with the boy. And they're sitting there doing it over text and like writing it and rewriting it, these long like messages about it's not you, it's me. And I just don't have whatever. It's all over text. And that takes out the hardest part in the learning of the communication and the personal feelings of it. It's just really funny for me to see it. And it's definitely the get off my lawn feeling that I have as shit, an old ass man that somebody called me at work this week. But it really, really changes things. Everything's electronic now. There's not as much face to face with that. And just as you said, you had to go up and do it. Now you don't.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's all very much changed. Kelly's first cell phone, I bought her when we were already dating and had been dating for a while. Like text messaging, I think, well, it was 2002 when we started going out. So I think text messaging was a, like it existed, but just nobody used it.
It was like 10 cents a piece, or you got 200 and you're like, well, shit, I'm not going to use that.
Well, exactly. And so, I mean, you know, it was AOL Instant Messenger. That was really the only way to do it. But at that point, but even that,
you didn't have the keyboard. Yeah. The text nine, if you wanted to do a C, T9, you had to hit the 2-3 times or whatever. The 1-3 times.
Oh God.
I can still do it.
I can shit out of a message though.
I can still do it.
I really needed to.
We'll have to do a race
like
one
muscle
day.
Muscle memory. When it was like riding a bike, you can just kind of get back in there and do it again. But anyway.
Speaking of muscles, the biggest muscle that I have is around my waist. And a couple weeks back in episode 55, Magical Leopleuridon.
Great show title.
We were talking about one of the lists that we had was of the things that people would want to eat and they would eat every day if it didn't cause them to gain weight. And we obviously, number one was, you know, no question, it was pizza. But ranked high up there, number three was pasta. And there was some interesting news that came out this week that I shared with you. And it's got me craving some spaghetti.
Yeah, apparently eating pasta, and according to Newsweek, eating pasta is linked to weight loss in a new study. That's phenomenal.
There's always new studies. There's the one that said drinking coffee is good for you and it prevents heart disease and does all this. And this week it's going to kill you. It's going to cause cancer. And they've got new warnings on it in the coffee shops in California. I don't know if you see that, but that's just California. But yeah, I'm excited to see that eating pasta is definitely going to help me lose weight. Maybe I got to start tomorrow. Maybe with some mac and cheese or something.
I had mac and cheese. Well, and I had mac and cheese for dinner today, actually, that Kelly made, which is delicious. It's a couple days old. It's still tastes Kraft, phenomenal. Though? No, it's homemade shit.
No, that's not.
Put that in the Instant Pot. I don't know.
Did she burn it like the brownies?
The brownies aren't burnt. Oh my God, Robert! It's there's Oreo cookies in them. They're fucking cookies. Although, I feel like the cookies should have been like. I feel like the cookies should have been like chopped up and put in there.
Yeah, she should have done a better job with that, right?
The recipe. You know what? Okay. She made it. Would Melissa make you brownies tonight? No, probably not.
No.
I know you're just envious, and that's why you're talking like this. But
I am. I'm lashing out at you. That's what I do.
But the good news is you can eat pasta, and apparently it doesn't matter what you mix with it. You'll lose weight. No, it says, so, you know, there was the popularity of low-carbohydrate diets, such as the keto and the paleo diet, which Atkins. Basically just vilified pasta is this terrible thing that is only going to make you gain weight when you eat it because it is the definition of a carbohydrate, basically. But apparently it's low on the glycemic index, which according to researchers at St. Michael's Hospital, Ontario, Canada, it's the, I don't know. It's low and apparently that's good for you. I don't know. I didn't really read the article. What do you got to say?
I read through it, but I didn't understand it. But basically, it says that they rate how the blood sugar levels are affected.
Picture of a meatball. That looks tasty.
I just scrolled down to look at the pictures.
It's a picture of Abraham
Lincoln. I don't read it for the articles. But yeah, I don't know. It has to do with the glycemic index, which I don't know what that means. But I guess probably how it turns into sugar. And they've always said that the pasta turns into sugar, and the sugar is bad for you, and your body can't process it quick enough. And evidently, pasta doesn't quite do that as much as they thought. So evidently people can lose weight by eating it. So we'll put the article in the show notes, but it's kind of funny that just something that we talked about within the last couple of weeks is already kind of turned around and changed course. So maybe it is okay to eat pasta.
Well, and just one other thing it does say here, it says researchers investigated the supposed link between pasta and weight gain by assessing 30 randomized control trials with almost 2,500 participants who followed what was regarded as a healthy, low GI diet and ate pasta instead of other forms of carbohydrate. Study participants ate 3.3 servings of around a half a cup of pasta on average each week. Over the 12 weeks, they lost half a kilo on average. The results could be explained that the fact that the lower GI foods satiate hunger better, therefore preventing people from consuming more food, according to the authors. So good news. So the word is out in the streets. Eat as much pasta as you like. Indulge yourself in pasta. If you want to like chop up like pizza and put it in the pasta, it'll help you lose weight. Yeah. So
I didn't say you could eat pizza, but
it's in pasta. The meatball does look pretty good. But that could just as easily be like pizza dough with some pepperonis and some cheese and stuff.
If it was a big old sausage ball, I would love it. You know, Ben said the other day, he said this weird thing where his foods change. I'm wondering if Colin does the same thing where things that he ate before, grapes, apples, those kind of things, where now he just doesn't like them. Is Colin kind of going through that where everything that he ate before he doesn't like he doesn't like chicken, he doesn't like grapes, and he ate grapes constantly. He ate green beans growing up as a kid all the time. I don't like those. And he won't eat them. He'll eat like pizza and he'll eat sometimes spaghetti, but he likes fish sticks. He likes that kind of stuff. But the stuff that was good for him and that he ate really up until he was about 6 or 7 years old, he doesn't like anymore.
So, Colin's a little bit different because he's such a picky eater. But there are definitely foods that as he was a baby and even a little bit as a toddler, he wouldn't eat that that he doesn't eat now. Like he will not eat for instance, mac and cheese, but he ate mac and cheese as a baby, no problem. So it's that kind of thing. Harrison tends to be like, he's found his oldies, but goodies and like really just kind of sticks to them. But you know, there's been things that have been eliminated along the way as well. Like neither of my kids really eat vegetables as hard as we try.
I know.
I just don't want to eat them. I'm just like, man. Yeah. I blame Hopefully Facebook.
Eventually.
Fake news. Motherfuckers. Well,
he said the other day we were trying to get him to eat some sort of meat and he goes, no, I don't want to eat meat. And you know, it's what they do to the animals. And I don't know. He goes, but you know, I'm okay with eating pig because otherwise I'd have to give up bacon.
I like it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
You know,
something's got to give somewhere.
Something's got to give somewhere.
He'll give up eating chicken and everything else, but he's not going to give up eating pigs because he doesn't want to have to give up bacon.
I had a burger with chorizo on it today. It was good. So I got a cow. I got cow and pig in one. It's phenomenal.
It's good. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think we're done with that part. You ready for some crazy news?
Yeah, let's do it.
But before we get into crazy news, we've got a promo spot from our friends at the Gen X Grown Up Podcast.
Don't you know that you're a grown up?
You know, these days, being a grown up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown Up Podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, genxgrownup.com. Basically, life sucks as
a grown-up. All right. Thank you, Gen X Grown Up Podcast. And here we go. Yeah, hearing that music is a lot like the what are we drinking. It's almost like there's major milestones that we hit during the episode. And you kind of look for, almost like when you're coming home from vacation, you look for certain things on the road to let you know you're almost home. That's kind of how I feel about that music.
So this week's first crazy news story. It's a story. A news story.
Wrong.
It's this week's crazy news story brings us somewhere to the south. It comes from the Huffington Post. Title is, possibly tipsy man loves cheap Costco beer so much he made a commercial for it. We all love or hate or cheap beer. And I think there's a couple that we've spoken about on the show that we're just not fans of. This guy loves his Costco beer, though. Since they don't have a commercial because it's Kirkland, he decided to make his own.
Yeah, now we love Costco, but we don't like the cheap beer. But he's got, looks like, big old cases of Kirkland Light, which Kirkland is the Costco brand. But it says the first rule of advertising is to know your audience. Then Randy Kolpeck is a real life Don Draper. Kolpeck is such a fan of Kirkland Signature Light, a budget beer sold only at Costco, so you know it's good. He took it upon himself to attempt his own commercial for the beverage. The end result was uploaded to YouTube, and I don't know. I've never had any of this, but I like it. Now, are you old enough to remember the Kool-Aid commercials with the Kool-Aid man smashing through the brick wall?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course. All right. Well, that's pretty much what he did. So I'll play a little bit of the audio. It's a little bit long to play the whole thing, but we'll definitely leave a link for you in the show notes because there's some very classic scenes in here.
Kirkland Light. It's 11 a.m. somewhere.
I like how there's a dog barking.
Life is swell with a Kirky Ale.
Barking dog.
Take 17. Don't fuck it up, Randy.
It's 2x4s he's banging together, too. It's not even one of those like things they use on the movie sets.
Kirkland Light, available in 48 packs where you buy your paints. Kirkland Light, it's got 30% less calories, so you can drink twice as much.
His math is a little bit off.
Kirkland Light, give me a Kirkland, a koozie, and a floozy. What?
He's yelling at the neighbor.
No. No, I haven't been throwing dog shit over the fence. Kirkland Light, do you have a drinking problem? Well, now you got a drinking solution. Kirkland Light. Life is like beer. Drink it in and piss it out. Can we hurry this along? I've got a DJ tonight.
There's a good one coming up.
Randy, are you fucking rolling? Here it comes. Kirkland Light. Don't drink water. Fish piss in it.
That's my favorite one. He goes on and on.
If there's any reason not to drink or to drink Kirkland Light is because if you drink water, you'd have to know that fish piss in it.
That's a classic. Oh, and you even hear people on the outside, they're just kind of laughing at it. But yeah, he's got probably 50 of these cases of the Kirkland Light boxes, and he's crashing through them every time. So this took a lot of time, and definitely I think there's a lot of creativity went into it, even though it's just, you know, some guy obviously sounds like he's down in the south somewhere, but I thought it was funny.
Well, it's this here Kolpeck, who works as a carpenter near Santa Cruz, California. That's where he is.
California.
He was originally from California. admits the commercial is supposed to be funny, but says his appreciation of the beer is apparently real. He told Reddit users he drinks about 18 cans a day. He said it's more about quantity than quality, obviously. To be honest, it's all cheap beer is pretty much the same, he told HuffPost by email. I always get the cashier saying, looks like someone is having a party, but Costco cut down on that shame. Kolpeck made the video last summer, but it started to go viral after he posted it on Reddit earlier this week. So far, Costco hasn't commented on Kolpeck's free advertising, but he's looking at the situation philosophically. At least we think. I don't pick up my tools without a beer. And I don't pick up beer without my tools, he told HuffPost.
It's no wonder we thought it was from somewhere in the South. I guess California, depending on where it is. Santa Cruz, that is in the South.
It's the southern end of California.
More along the Alabama, Mississippi, you know, Georgia kind of area. But Santa Cruz, California, you should be out on a skateboard somewhere.
I would think so. If I hear this guy's from California, like I don't picture this guy. I didn't think that they let this type of guy into California in the first place. So good for him. He must have had a passport or something. I don't know. But anyway,
too funny.
So
where's our next show?
Well, our next one takes us.
It's 10% beer. I gotta start sniffing it.
Our next one takes us a little bit further east to Beaumont, Texas, where an employee of the Jefferson County Morgue died this morning. And this morning, I don't know when this was written, but it was recently.
Doesn't matter.
But and this is tragic, Robert. And I should say this is also from our friends at worldnewsdailyreport.com. Apparently, he was accidentally cremated by one of his coworkers because he was taking a nap.
According to the Beaumont Police Department, 48-year-old Henry Paul Johnson decided to take a nap on a stretcher after working for 16 hours straight. While he was sleeping, another employee mistook him for the corpse of a 52-year-old car accident victim and carried him to the crematory. Before anybody could notice the mistake, he'd already been exposed to temperatures ranging between 1,400 to 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit and reduced to ashes. Jenna Davis, one of Henry Johnson's co-workers, said she heard him scream for about 15 seconds after the crematory was activated.
Says
that. First, we didn't understand where the sound was coming from. When we realized what was happening, it was too late. We shut down the heating system, but he was already dead.
Ms. Davis claims that the young coworker who caused the accident was a new employee and had forgotten to check for the toe tag to make sure he had the right body. The police have opened an investigation to determine the exact circumstances surrounding Mr. Johnson's death. Investigators have not ruled out the possibility of filing criminal charges against the employees who caused the death. The young man could possibly be accused of criminal negligence causing death.
I can't imagine sleeping on a stretcher at a morgue, but I guess that's the thing. It is, I don't know if that's his driver's license photo, but it's certainly not a mugshot since he didn't do anything wrong, but that'll definitely make it into the show art this week.
Oh, and I don't know if this was the same morgue or not, but apparently there was a morgue worker who was arrested after giving birth to a dead man's baby.
What?
Oh, no.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you probably should go up and check on Kelly with that dog. Make sure they're both...
I'll still drink my beer, though. Hold on. The dog's fine. She's fine. She's probably just walking around cleaning up piss off the floor.
You need to take those paper towels up there.
As I'm here making a podcast and eating brownies that she baked earlier.
Throw some of those hard brownies down on the piss off them a little bit.
Watch, this is super soft. Watch, watch.
I do love brownies. I got to get one of those little brownie cooker things that you put in there, and it makes them all into little squares, and they've got the edges on them all the time.
Oh, an easy bake oven?
No. I'm a big fan of cookies, but I'd have to say if I had to pick brownies over cookies, I would be able to do it.
Makes sense. Well, this smells great.
Now, toilet paper.
What?
I know we don't really use toilet paper here because we've got the bidets, but toilet paper, over or under?
Under.
No, over. What are you talking about?
No, it's got to go under.
No, that's stupid. It has to go over. See, you can't do it under. See, if I see it under, I'm taking it apart and I'm putting it back.
This is the thing. If it's under, it's easier to do it one-handed. I have this maneuver where I pull the toilet paper, and as I pull it,
you break it against the wall.
Here, watch. Here, I'll show you. So I'll use...
All right. So use your paper towels.
I got a maneuver. So the toilet paper is over.
I can't.
Here. The toilet paper is over here. I only have one hand to work with. So watch. So what I do is I pull and I rotate my wrist up. And as I do that, it stops the toilet paper roll from spinning. So I can just like, boom, one-handed. See? See, if it's over, you can't do that. It's not as efficient, Robert. It's like Kelly using the remote. It's just not as good as when I do it.
No, it's got to be over. It just
you're saying
seems,
because
it's
the only reason you're saying that
it's not natural to have it under.
Aesthetically, it looks better if it's over.
It does.
Functionally, it's better under, though.
Functionally, you're using water.
Functionally, you're stupid.
We didn't even close the episode.
Do they know that they're still recording?
See, now I got to start reading music all over again.
They think they're done. I don't know.
I'm going to turn the echo on.
For more on the two Bobs, you can visit us at www.thetwobobs.com. We're on all those social related things, even Facebook. So if you still have a Facebook account, you can find us at Two Bobs Podcast. If you don't have a Facebook account, good for you. Fuck Facebook. We do have a phone number. If you've if you have simply refused to participate in social media anymore at all.
Yeah. I noticed that you had a phone number.
Hey, Bob K, what's our phone number? Where our listeners can reach us via telephone.
Well, if you'd like to reach us, we're 530-882-BOBS, which is 530-882-2627.
I feel like you should have matched my level of energy at that point, but you overdid it, and it just made me sound even worse.
I guess that's episode 59.
There it is. Episode 59. Kelly makes burnt brownies. She'll kill me. She'll kill me if that's the episode title.
All right. Have a good week.
Bye. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. No words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.